From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at...
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 10 years from today, Lisa Schneider will trade in her office job to become the leader of a pack of dogs. As the owner of her own dog rescue, that is. A second act made possible by the reskilling courses Lisa's taking now with AARP to help make sure her income lives as long as she does. And she can finally run with the big dogs. And the small dogs, who just think they're big dogs. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills.
The Service Leadership Profitability Report is out. I got a copy of it and dug through it, so I had a ton of questions for Peter Gajawa from Service Leadership, who joins me on this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. MSP Global is the place to be to shape the future of services. MSPs, VARs, MSSPs, if you work in digital enablement, you need to be at the Nürburgring. Discover products, form new partnerships, connect with top leaders, and hear from MSP industry voices, as well as rock legend Bob Geldof. You'll get to enjoy the legendary Nürburgring racetrack, perfect for the theme of driving digital transformation. MSP Global, November 14 to 16, and registration is free with the code MSP Radio or the link in the show notes. MSPglobal.com and code MSP Radio to attend for free.
Well, Peter, welcome back to the show. It's exciting to have you back.
Hey, Dave. Glad to be back. I heard a lot of great feedback from the last time I was on, so you have a big audience.
Well, I try. Hopefully I explore interesting topics, but you're like Christmas for me. Like when I get the Service Leadership Profitability Report, it is like Christmas. So for those that aren't familiar, let's do a quick baseline. What is the report and how do you put it all together?
Well, the report itself is... It's about 300 pages this year of light bedtime reading of data. And for those who are into really understanding what's going on in the industry, this is the encyclopedia of what's going on in the industry, particularly in terms of profitability. But it's not just analysis on profit and loss and just traditional reading balance sheets or anything. We're really going deep into the various business models that we benchmark and looking at what are the trends that we're seeing in the industry. And then every year we have the opportunity to dive into some special sections, into some things that we find interesting. And they may only be things that we find interesting, Dave, but it's our report. So we have the luxury of being able to go deep wherever we want. And so we can talk about some of those things too. But the data itself comes from our benchmarking primarily. So almost all of it, we benchmark the industry every quarter worldwide, as you know, and we benchmark 10 different predominant business models. The two largest sample sets being MSPs, infrastructure managed service providers, and product centric or VARs. But we also benchmark a bunch of different models of infrastructure provider, app dev providers. So we look at what your predominant revenue is. And for example, if you're 60% or more of your revenue is from product, you're a VAR to us. And so we're comparing really apples to apples. And so that's where we get the data from.
Awesome. Well, you're exactly right. Like that 300-page report hits my desk and it's just Christmas time. I'm just digging through trying to figure out what's going on. What was striking to me this year is that there really is kind of a record growth and revenue and profitability growth in 2022, and we're kind of hitting really great times. Can you tell me about what's going on specifically? What are these key factors that are driving this great marketplace that we've seen sort of the past, you know, certainly in 2022, but it looks like it's like the past 3 years?
Yeah, it's really extraordinary, Dave. When you look at the last 3 years, going back to 2020, I remember sitting around the conference table with our leadership team in the beginning of lockdowns, wondering, will we have an industry by the end of this year? Will there be any surviving customers? And all of us asking those kind of questions. And instead, what we've seen has been really remarkable. And that is, we've seen the three best years ever for the industry. 2020 was obviously a huge year, but 2021 and 2022, when things have largely normalized again, continue to be really, really strong. We're truly living in a golden era of the industry right now. I think there's a lot of reasons why. Market acceptance of managed services, understanding of the model and the operational maturity level improvement by the industry, and other factors. But regardless, we've seen three extraordinary years of performance across the board. The best in class, the green lines here, they continue to dominate. They're making on average about 2.6x of what the median is making. And the bottom quartile, though, on average was about break even. And most years we see the bottom quartile losing money on average. So while on a quarter in, quarter out basis, there's still too much of the industry that is losing money in the bottom quartile. The progression and the improvement in the industry has been across the board. It's been really, really fun to watch.
Now, what are you attributing that to? Like, what are sort of the key factors going on here that are making that difference? Are people getting better at operating? Is the market just great? What are you attributing this to?
Yeah, a couple of things. So we get asked a lot about valuations and why are valuations staying up. And so if you look at product centric, you can see the average growth of the average VAR revenue growth really popped in 2022. Now, this business model has had some challenges that the average MSP has had, but not to the same degree. And that was supply chain. 2021 and the first half of 2022 were really brutal for the average VAR in terms of being able to get their hands on product. And certainly that impacted MSPs and slowed down some projects and impacted their ability to get some product out the door, but it impacted the VARs the most. You can see the pop in revenue from 21 to 2022. Adjusted EBITDA was down a little bit in 2022, but in terms of valuations, in terms of dollars, because of the jump in revenue, the VARs increased valuations on average. If you look at the MSPs, it's been an even more exciting story over the last several years. So the MSPs, the average MSP, we've seen go from $4 million in 2018 up to $7.5 million in revenue in 2022. We've also seen gross margin stay pretty flat, and we'll talk about that more in a bit. We had some interesting analysis on gross margin in the report. But profitability has continued to improve. So adjusted EBITDA has gone from 9.4 in 2018 up to 12.6 on average in 2022. That's obviously driving a lot more profit to the bottom line. And so all of that positively impacts valuations. So overall, and the growth in revenue, it was the right kind of revenue growth. You can see the percentage of revenue coming from recurring revenue has passed in 2022, it passed up over 50% for the first time for MSPs. So more specifically, year over year growth in revenue last year was 23%, which is about two times historical norms. So typically, most years we see growth somewhere in the 12% range, give or take, plus or minus 2%. Last year, way past that, almost double it, 23%. Even more exciting to us was if you go down and look at the IMS, that's Infrastructure Managed Services, that grew 30%. So not only was top line growth for MSPs faster than normal, but the most important revenue input for any managed service provider, managed services, grew even faster, 30%. So that's off the charts growth year over year. All of that had a really positive impact on the industry last year.
Now let's do the sort of the last of the upside before I ask some targeted questions. So what you're also looking at, you spent some time looking at the valuations and like the growth of the business and over time, what did you find in terms of the value of these companies, both now and sort of as we look at it historically?
Oh, they're really high compared to historic norms. So 2021 was, in our opinion, were peak multiples for most MSPs, the exception being larger MSPs, and particularly the larger MSPs that are extremely profitable. So if you're best-in-class profitability and you're an MSP that is producing, let's say, $5 million or more per year of EBITDA dollars, your valuations are today probably at an all-time record high. As private equity money has continued to come into the market and continues to come in even today with higher interest rates, the private equity money is chasing larger MSPs, and there just aren't that many of them. So their valuations have stayed or continued to climb past record highs. The smaller MSPs, though, even their valuations have stayed pretty close to historical peaks, the exception being those that are not profitable or are barely profitable. So my message to any MSP is you can't control interest rates. You can't control how much private equity money is or isn't coming into the marketplace. Right now is a great time for valuations. What you can control is you can control growing your business, and you can control adding the right customers and the right kind of revenue so that you're driving a better mix of recurring revenue and that you're driving better profitability. Ultimately, a huge part of the valuation is going to come down to the percentage of profitability, the type of revenue you've got as an MSP, and the size of the bucket of EBITDA dollars that are left at the end of the day. So those are things that the MSP should be able to control.
Yeah, it falls in line with my thinking on this because, you know, I know I sound a little classic or old school on this, but a well-run business is a well-run business. That's what brings the value. And you're saying exactly the same thing as if an operator spends their time on running it well, making sure that it's a machine that generates profit, that will have the value that it's looking for. And we'll be right back with more questions after this quick break. Want to learn from the best virtual CISOs in the business? Sonomi's ebook, 7 Tips from Top Virtual CISOs, is now available to help you maximize services, increase revenues, and improve margins. What are the barriers to achieving long-term vCISO delivery success? Why being a vCISO is so demanding? How to take the time out of many of the most vital vCISO duties, and how to use automation to enable rapid scaling of those services. Learn from successful providers how they do it, and all for a free download. Visit Cynomi.com/resources, that's Cynomi.com, so you can vCISO at scale. Now, I want to pivot a little bit, and I want to actually talk about that one area that is kind of troubling a little bit if I dig into it, is there's some declining services gross margin. Now, you know, I like looking at this because from my mind, you know, good service delivery is a real key differentiator. What are you finding? How is that happening? And what are the implications of this decline in that services gross margin?
We looked at this this year. It's been something that service leadership's been watching for a while. My predecessor, Paul Dipple, and I had some conversations on it early on after I joined the company. It's been a multi-year thing that we've been just watching. And the reason why is because it's so incredibly important for the industry. Service gross margin, infrastructure services gross margin, AKA service gross margin, it's the gas that fuels the engine that is managed services. This is what ultimately is the single most important determinant of profitability for every TSP out there. So really critical that we figure this out as an industry. And so for a while, we were just thinking, well, you know, there's a lot of inflation out there, and that's what's negatively impacting it. And certainly that's had an impact. But we wanted to go deeper. And so the section you're referring to, we looked at this a lot of different ways. And so what we looked at first was, is this seasonal? Are we seeing this? We certainly know that Q4, we tend to see a lot of pull forward on expense. So is this something that was strictly affecting things seasonal? And you can see the trend line. Yes, there was definitely an impact seasonally, but overall the decline was the decline over time. So we looked at, is it just being something that's impacting the bottom quartile? And so we went back to 2013, and you can see the trend lines are negative for the best in class and the bottom quartile and the median. Now, the bottom quartile is certainly a steeper, more accelerated trend line down, but nobody is moving the needle in the right way. So we looked at the different inputs to service gross margin and tried to figure out, is one of them disproportionately impacting it? And the answer was yes. So when we looked at technical services gross margin, which is break fix revenue, it was down a little bit from the last couple of years, but up from before that. So a little bit up and down, but not dramatically different. We looked at managed services gross margin, and managed services gross margin last year actually went up from 2021 and 2020. A little bit down from 2019, but basically flat from 2018 and 2019. So that wasn't the issue. We looked at shared services, which is hosted when I'm hosting on my own infrastructure. And not an issue there. That actually bounced back nicely in 2022. So the issue was the second line, and that's project or professional services gross margin. Clearly, that was the major, major impact. And you can see the last couple of years, 29.5 and 14.8. So once we figured that out, we went and looked deeper there to see what's really affecting that. And what we found was that while it affected everybody, the best in class service gross margin for projects was about 35%. Now, that's still way under where we want to be. Best in class service gross margin overall is about 51.9 currently. So being in the 35% range is nothing to write home about. But bottom quartile was down in the low teens. They were in the 14, 15% range. So definitely a huge spread there between them. And one of the factors you can see here, and that is how much are the professional services or project folks billing per person? You can see bottom quartile, about 42,000, best in class, about 51,000. So what are some of the reasons why? Well, what we're finding is that as MSPs have gotten better the last several years and continue to improve their managed service operations and things like capturing utilization and incentivizing utilization with their teams and with their managers and really making sure everybody understands where they need to be. Managed service pricing. We've seen great evidence in the last couple of years of price increase methodology taking hold and escalators being put into multi-year contracts that historically didn't have them, and really counteracting the effects of inflation that everybody's been dealing with. So we've seen all of these things going on in the managed service business. But if I could summarize it, essentially, as the MSPs have gotten more disciplined and more dialed in on delivery of managed services at higher gross margin, they've equally taken their eye off of delivering projects and delivering them in a way that's delivering high gross margin. So utilization rate is a huge factor. Do you have the right size team, and is your team fully utilized? More than anything else, that will tell the tale of the tape on how profitable your project business will be. But it's not just that. It's when we looked at it, it's are you looking at your labor rates at the same interval as you're looking at your managed service pricing, which should be at least once a year, right? And as wages have gone through the roof in technical teams, have labor, have hourly project rates gone up enough to countervail that? So that's certainly one thing. Another recommendation we have for MSPs is only do projects for your managed service clients. A lot of MSPs are doing fixed price projects now. And if you're doing projects for your managed service clients, your chances of stepping on a landmine are a lot smaller than they are if you're doing projects outside of your managed service base. You also, because you're doing QBRs and scheduling your projects well in advance and doing IT roadmaps, if you're doing projects only for your existing managed base, you can schedule those projects in a way that maintains a lot higher level of utilization. You can keep your teams busy consistently. So there's a lot of recommendations we have in the report on how to counteract this, but it's really important for MSPs to get their arms around it because they're leaving a lot of money on the table that could be going to bottom line.
Okay, that's a lot to think about as they're considering all this. Now, the other area I wanted to ask you about was the looking at cloud technology, because you actually spent some time looking at the transition to cloud and what was happening with profit there. In fact, you know, as you've talked about, profitability has grown. What did you guys find when you looked at all of the impact of cloud over the past, you know, sort of 5 or 10 years and what it's meant for profitability in the space?
Well, it's brought a lot of positives. I mean, on the project team, back to that point, one of the things I'd recommend is that if looking at the projects that you're doing, and if you're mostly doing cloud migrations these days, and they're a very different skill set than what you were doing 5 or maybe 10 years ago, make sure that the skill set of your team and the size of your team reflects that. So it's definitely brought some positives from a standpoint of being able to do work remote and being able to do project work without having to go on site, and a lot of things that have helped MSPs be able to scale both locally and outside of their local area. But in terms of some of the other factors, one of the things to be careful about is we saw, if you go back to the revenue slide we showed earlier, over 40% year-over-year growth in cloud. And that's exciting. It's great growth. We've seen that trend going back to the early days of COVID as everybody has shifted to 365 and working from home, et cetera. The thing to be careful of, though, is the percentage of revenue coming from product has increased significantly as a result of that. And so if I could summarize it in short, MSPs are getting really excited about this additional revenue and all appear to be trying to turn themselves into VARs at a time that all the VARs are trying to turn themselves into MSPs. And there's a good reason for that, and it's because the VARs have learned that they don't control the margins on these products the way that they control the margin on services. And so when I'm talking to groups of MSPs, it obviously depends on the cloud product, but if you look at products that are growing the fastest, like 365, if an MSP is getting 16, 17, 18% on that, the argument is, well, yeah, it's not as much as we would get on best-in-class product gross margin, and it's certainly not what we would get on services, but we don't have to do that much. And I would challenge that, first of all, because you do have to do a fair amount of work to manage this for clients. But second of all, how safe is that 16, 17, 18%? Are the providers that are determining that benevolent in their generosity and likely to continue it or increase it? And the VARs, of course, have learned that the answer to that is no, that that as you continue to grow these various product lines, that you don't control that margin. And over time, that margin is likely to go down. So what I would advise is any MSP add a service layer on top of any cloud product that they're selling. So whether that's 365 or anything else that you're selling that's a cloud product and you have to sell it at MSRP, go ahead and sell it at MSRP. Enjoy the margins that you're getting. Maximize those margins to the greatest degree. But reflect the additional work you're doing. About 50% of the MSPs that we talk to are adding an administrative fee or some sort of management fee, or they're baking that management fee into their fully managed offering, something that that is allowing them to provide an additional services fee so they can, A, boost those margins, and B, they can maintain them going forward. So definitely would recommend that for any provider out there.
So Peter, what's the most intriguing bit that you see in the report there that you want to make sure that providers know about?
We break it down by different business models. And so depending on what business model you're in, you don't have to necessarily read through all 300 pages. Not everybody finds that as fun and captivating as you and I do, Dave, as hard as that is for us to acknowledge.
Right.
But you can go in and just look at the section on MSP data. You can go in and look if you're a VAR in the VAR section. But one of the sections we added in addition to some of the other special sections we already talked about was we now have a really large sample set of providers who are on SLEEK, which is our operational maturity level improvement tool. And it's large enough that we're able to go in and correlate profitability to OML and various traits. So we decided to pull five of those traits this year out, and we looked at the community as a whole. And you can see that here, that we still have about 18-19% of the community that's OML 1 or 2, that's a really tough place to run a business. That's a challenging place. You're probably losing a significant amount of money. The good news is overall, the industry has continued to improve over the last several years, and the majority is OML 3, 4, or 5. But when we dove in and looked at some specific traits, we looked at target customer profile. And for example, you can see the red line here. What the red line is the percentage of managed service contracts sold that are their full meal deal. So whatever their most inclusive managed service offering is, what percentage of their managed service contracts sold are that most inclusive? In our methodology, we would love it if you only had one fully managed offering and that's all you sold. But the reality is a lot of providers still have two or three managed service offerings in their go-to-market. What you see is the more disciplined you get on having a single target customer profile, the exponential improvement that you'll be able to get, but in the percentage of contracts sold that are fully managed. So OML 4 and 5 in the 70 and over 70% of their agreements are fully managed. And that brings a lot of efficiency in running the business. Tech stack, how disciplined is your tech stack? Do you have a single item in each slice of your tech stack? And do you require all of your managed customers to be on it? And do you deploy it during onboarding? If so, you're OML 5. If you have some preferred vendors and products that you sell, but you don't require them, you're more focused on the service layer, you're OML 1 or 2. And you can look at the difference in managed service gross margin. OML 1, 31% goes up to about 59.9%, almost 60% for OML 5. So if you're trying to figure out how to drive more profit and efficiency in your business, this is a great way to do it. QBRs, are you doing them, as the name strongly implies, quarterly? Or are you doing them once a year or twice a year? If you're doing them every quarter for your managed clients, you're OML 5. And certainly there was a huge boost in profitability, basically break even up to 24.4. Managed service gross margin went up. But the interesting thing on this one was product. Product gross margin doubled from OML 1 up to OML 5. And we were really puzzled at that and looked into it. And what we realized as we went through it was, well, if you're doing QBRs every quarter, you're doing a technology roadmap, you're providing budget guidance many quarters in advance. By the time you get to that quarter and it's time to do that project, the client has known about it for probably over a year. So they're a lot less likely to challenge it or shop or push back on the price of the project. So So do your QBRs quarterly. And last was charging for technical assessments, which we refer to as the religious discussion. You can choose not to do it, but if you do, you're going to be at about half the profit, most likely, of those who do charge for pre-sales assessments. So a lot of reasons why. One that's often overlooked is if you're not charging for pre-sales assessments, then you have to have the capacity in your service and pre-sales team to deliver assessments to every qualified prospect. If you are charging, you're going to weed out about 60 or 70% of the buyers who are tire kickers or price point buyers and aren't going to be willing to pay what you need to charge. And if you weed out 60 to 70% of those, well, then you only need to have the capacity in your team to be able to perform about a third of the assessments. And the cost of those folks goes into your service gross margin. So those are part of your service team. So there's a bunch of positives that partners get out of charging for them, but that's one that I think is often forgotten, is just not having to do as many assessments for prospects that are not as serious about buying.
Yeah, I think that screening bit is part of that key value. Well, Peter, this has been like incredibly insightful. We've got a lot to work with. If people are interested in getting a copy of the report, how can they do that?
They can get a free copy of the executive summary. If they go scan the QR code, and we have about a 12-page executive summary that we will send you for no charge. And you can also, at that same spot, purchase the full copy of the report for $15.99 US.
Peter, this has been fantastic. Thank you again for joining me. And I look forward to having you back on the next time there's a good report to talk about.
I look forward to it, Dave. Thank you.
Partner Hero is an outsourcing company that goes beyond industry norms to prioritize employee empowerment, career growth, and quality performance. They pay above market salaries and have a management team that includes individuals from the startup world, making them more than just a service provider. They're also a thought partner for startups. With flexible terms to let you scale quickly and offices around the world for global coverage, you get a thought partner for your business with quality assurance baked into every program. You know I believe in outsourcing. It's what IT services is all about. If you're ready to bring in outside customer support help for your startup that feels like it's part of your existing team, check out Partner Hero. Head on over to partnerhero.com/businessoftech to book a free consultation with their solutions team. Mention you heard about Partner Hero from Business of Tech, and they'll waive the setup fee. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSPradio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit MSPradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.